1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll go ahead and read verses 6 through 8 as we open up this message to conclude this Passover series, which was a short series, and it went by quick, three parts is all. But we wanted to end today. It was fitting to end this today, which actually, if we were meeting on Friday, we'd end it on Friday, because this is the highlight of the week is Jesus, our Passover, Christ, our Passover. So let's read from 1 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, and it says, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover," there it is, "for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Let's pray. Father, your word is life. Your word is sharp. Your word is that sword that pierces us, that penetrates into our soul, and giving truth. And let us hear truth today by the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Let my words be your words, and be powerful, and be like fire to each and every one of us. Let us bring glory to you, only see you, only hear you, in your name, amen. In preparation for the Passover, or Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Israelites were commanded to remove any trace of leaven from their homes. Last week, very brief recap, we had this table before us. And on that table, of the three items of food, the unleavened bread was one that they really started out first dealing with. What I mean by that is the time would come when they had to select a lamb during Passover week. And actually on the 10th day, they had to begin that search, or that process of finding a spotless lamb no older than 1 year old. Everything is a sign for something much deeper that we know of now, being familiar with the gospel of Christ. But on that table, they were to have unleavened bread. And the reason why is it was to be unleavened is there would be no time to allow the leaven, the amount of time required for the process to work, where it puffs up and become the bread that we all prefer and we all like. The reason our bread that we like it puffs up like it is because of something that just takes a small amount to get in there and work and causes this bread to just rise. Well, that takes time. That process takes time. And God said, your bread must be unleavened because, for one reason, there is no time for the leaven to get to working. But another reason is that forever I want to teach you all a process that there is a difference between bread that is leavened and bread that is unleavened. And there's a spiritual application, a spiritual lesson that we see in the Passover that we find really nowhere else. And this started so long ago, and it still continues to preach truth to us. What is the unleavened bread all about? Last week, in actually 2 weeks, we've really focused on the lamb being slain and what? The blood from that lamb that had to be applied to the doorpost of every home if they were to be spared. Those that did that, when death came through that night, it passed over. Hence the term Passover. It passed over those whose homes were protected by the blood. They took the blood of the spotless lamb that was slain and applied it to their doorpost. All the rest that didn't have that, their firstborn were killed. Not only the firstborn of the people, but also the firstborn of their herd, of animal. The Bible tells us that. But here's the process of not so much focusing right now on the lamb and the blood. We'll get back to that in just a few moments. But I want to talk about the leaven, or unleavened bread. The unleavened bread was so serious that they had to get every trace of leaven out of their home, and for a week they could eat no leavened bread. Everything during Passover had to be dealt with in such a way that they would actually have to go through their homes and make sure they find every little spot that they could have missed out on some yeast. You know, my wife, when we first got married, one of our wedding gifts was a bread maker. It's a bread maker like Barbara May has and makes all that good bread. Well, we've got one similar to hers, but for some reason the bread that comes out of ours is not as good as the bread that comes out of yours. There's a trick there somewhere, I'm sure. But nonetheless, we've made some good bread the last few months. But the first time that we used this thing was like 19 years ago when Ashley and I first got married. She decided she wanted to make a few loaves of bread. It was fabulous. It was great. She put the bread maker back in, and 18 years later, about a month ago, I brought it out, and I have made loaves of bread since then. I've made raisin bread. I've made all kinds of bread, and I've just enjoyed it, and it doesn't last long in our home, if you can imagine, with seven mouths that love bread. But when she first got that bread, there was a little jar of yeast. It's yeast made for bread. It's bread machine yeast. You can find it anywhere at any grocery store. But it's one of those little items that probably stayed in our refrigerator till 2 years ago, 16 years later, not really. But my point is, it's yeast, and it was in a small little container, and it's one of those things that could easily get pushed back to the back of the refrigerator, where God only knows what's back there in most of our homes anyway. Not so in the camp of Egypt. The Israelites were told, you've got to find every little trace of yeast, and it doesn't matter if you forgot about it. It doesn't matter if you're ignorant about it. So they would tear their homes apart and literally look under every crack and crevice, and they'd go throughout their homes and make sure some little tiny amount of yeast in this little jar hasn't fallen down somewhere, because if that happened, that would not be good for them. God said, remove all the leaven or yeast from your home during that 7 days. You will consume none, and you will not have any. Get the yeast out of there. And so we have unleavened bread. And the spiritual application of this is simply this. We cannot be tolerant even of the smallest amount of sin. Amen. We can't allow anything in our lives to go unaddressed. We can't turn a blind eye to anything in our own lives, not looking at others, not judging others. I'm talking about looking within our home. Make sure under every rug I have not missed anything in my life where yeast or sin is still there. Because it only takes a small amount. Hello? It only takes a small amount to just affect the entire lump of one's life. And so God is saying, get the yeast out. But what he's telling us is, get the sin out. Remove it. Take serious this matter of removing what you think is in secret and what may very well be in secret in your life. Do everything you can to address it and get it out. That's what he's saying by pulling the leaven out of your home. Get it out of your life. It doesn't do anything but destroy. And so like yeast, it just spreads through the entire lump of dough. And God called the Israelites to first focus on this duty. It became a duty for them. Get rid of the leaven before ever even dealing with the lamb of sacrifice, which came later. And there's a few things I want to share with you about this leaven or this whole process. And God made it such a serious matter, but why? Why was there such focus, such emphasis from God, this divine emphasis on this unleavened bread? And what does it tell us? The first thing, the unleavened bread reminds. The unleavened bread reminds. Notice back in verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? A little leaven corrupts the whole lump, verse 6 says. So the unleavened bread, it's a picture, a reminder to us, the process that the Israelites used to remove the leaven from their homes, it was both strategic and also purposeful. These families, in tearing their houses apart, and I failed to mention the way they would do that. They didn't have a flashlight back then like we would. Get up under the kitchen sink and look for something that might have been misplaced. But with candlelight, they would go through every crack of their home, every corner of their place, and they would find any hidden spots in that home where the leaven might have been stored. So the unleavened bread, it reminds us, it's constantly reminding of God's call, get out everything that destroys, even if it seems insignificant, address it. Amen? Deal with it, because a little leaven corrupts the whole lump. The Passover forever was a reminder of the purification of God's people. This was a way that they were becoming purified. By dealing with the yeast or by dealing with the leaven, they were actually dealing with the impurities of their life, the things in their life that were sin, the things in their life that were continuing to miss God's mark. God said, deal with it. And the picture of all this and removing the leaven is His call to us to remove the leaven from our lives, the leaven that is sin. You say, well, it's just little things. I know. But little things become serious things. Serious things become very serious, because like yeast, God's saying that's the way sin is. It might start off very small, but before you know it, it has just invaded. It's taken over. Paul urges the Corinthian church, purge out the old leaven. There in verse 7 of our text, that's the first thing Paul says after asking this question. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? And then he comes right after that, verse 7, first part of verse 7, he says, purge out therefore the old leaven. This word purge, what does that mean? It means get it out. It means get rid of it. It means don't just deal with the big things everybody knows about, but deal with the small things that nobody knows about. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I think it's time we allow that unleavened bread to remind us of something. Remind us of what Paul said. Get the old leaven out so that you may be a new lump. Verse 7, a new lump as you are unleavened. So not only does the unleavened bread remind us of God's purging, God's call to His people, get the leaven out, get the sin out, because I'm calling you to be a whole new lump, calling you to be a new wineskin, calling you to be brand new. So the way to do that is to get all the sin out. The second thing the unleavened bread does is it encourages. The Passover taught the Israelites that God did everything He could. In fact, when we see blood, we think, oh, how horrible. But actually, no, it's not horrible at all. It's very merciful. Because in the Passover, the blood on the doorpost meant God is having mercy over you. And He's allowing you to substitute your sinful existence with something else that would satisfy His requirement or His penalty of breaking the covenant. So the unleavened bread, not only does it remind, but it also encourages us that the Passover, it was teaching these Israelites that God did His part in allowing the blood of a sacrificial lamb to remove the guilt of sin. But guess what? He could have said that, and He did say that, and they could have believed it, but they had to actually take responsibility. Come on, somebody. They had to take responsibility and slay the lamb and take the blood from that lamb and put it on the post of their home. It wasn't going to happen on its own. And God wasn't going to do that for them. Whosoever will, let him come. God wasn't going to put the blood on the door for them. They had a responsibility to do that. And I can tell you right now, the Bible says that God so loved the world, the whole world, that He gave His only begotten Son. But I can tell you, you have got to believe that and by faith receive that and accept it. God's not going to do that for us. And the unleavened bread encourages us of that. It encourages us that God, He did His part. He allowed a sacrifice to come, and if we accept that sacrifice, it's like the blood of the days of the Israelites in Egypt. He said, I'll pass over that judgment. You'll be redeemed. You'll be forgiven. You'll be a brand new person. You'll be born again. But we have a responsibility to apply that sacrifice to our life. How do we apply that sacrifice? For repenting of the leaven. Amen. Repentance, That's a word we don't hear a whole lot. Something we should be doing. It's a life we actually should be living. How does this Passover feast ultimately lead the whole world to the cross of Calvary? Because Christ became the Passover during his sacrifice. Verse 7, the last part of that verse says this, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." How do we apply the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world? That is Jesus, that is Christ. How do we apply that blood to our hearts? We do it by faith, and we do it through repentance. We do it by saying, "God, I am heartbroken for the sin that's in my life. I'm heartbroken that I have missed the mark." We can't justify ourselves by saying, "But everybody's a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Yes, that's true. That's a true statement. However, that should not cause us to not be sorrowful about our sin. Listen, if we're never sorrowful, we'll never repent. That's what repentance is. It's a purging. It's God coming through and allowing the yeast of sin and the leaven to get out of our lives. Paul says, purge out that old leaven. The unleavened bread encourages us to be constantly purging from our lives the old leaven of this sinful world. Wouldn't it be nice if we dealt with the leaven once and for all? You deal with the leaven today and it'll be waiting on you Monday morning. Come on now. This process, we call it a process of repentance because it's not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. In fact, Paul said it in somewhere else in Galatians 6:14. He said, "God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." What he was saying is, although I had a great, wonderful experience on the road to Damascus, Paul said that's good. It was good then, but it's not good enough for today. I have to constantly be dying, constantly be purging, constantly getting the yeast out. Look to your neighbor and say, "You still have some yeast you might need to deal with." Oh, that sounds horrible, but Lord Jesus. You got some bacteria? That's what it is. This describes, this is Galatians 6:14, it describes the believer's separation from the world. That unleavened bread encourages all believers. We've got to constantly be looking through our houses with candlelight in hand and saying, "God, what is in my heart that doesn't belong there?" We got to look up under the cupboard, the back of the refrigerator. We got to look in every pantry. We got to look in every wall of our, not literally, but within our hearts. We've got to make sure. We've got to make so sure that we're truly unleavened. Here's the last thing, verse 8. "Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Paul says, "Let us keep the feast." Let us keep the feast. And here's where I'd like to close this. But I want you to, just for a couple more minutes. This is the point right here. The unleavened bread, it reminds us. The unleavened bread encourages us. But the unleavened bread, it also persists. What does that mean? Here in verse 8, we just read that Paul says, "Let us keep the feast." Therefore, let us keep the feast. And if we stop right there and realize what he's just saying, he's saying live this lifestyle of festival. Live this lifestyle of this feast that you're in. The Christian life, Paul is basically saying, this Christian life that you're in, always be keeping the feast, because the Christian life is this living feast that makes it possible to walk in the Spirit with Christ. And so the Christianity, that's why you can't say, "Well, you know, are you a Christian based on a one-time encounter?" And not, you don't think of it in terms of that. You think of it in terms of, "Well, I'm a Christian because I walk with Jesus daily." For most people, that's what Christianity has to be. While there's a one-time event, you accept Christ, you are born again, there's no doubt, no question. from then on, it becomes a lifestyle of living with Christ. Paul says, keep that feast. Meaning, as a believer, you're just in, constantly just in this feast with the Lord. You're constantly observing what? You're observing the unleavened bread that Christ Jesus made you. We are crucified with Christ. Our lives are to be lived in the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us, Galatians 2:20. Our lives are one constant testimony that the unleavened bread of truth and sincerity persists, and our lives in Christ are a perpetual festival. Our lives in Christ are just one perpetual festival forever and ever, and our lives are to be lived in community with fellow believers with whom we constantly break the bread of unity and fellowship. The unleavened bread, it reminds us. The unleavened bread, it encourages us. The unleavened bread, it also persists, saying that forever as a believer, the Passover, it reminds us of redemption. These last few weeks, we tried to kind of think out of the box of how to have a fresh look at Passover. I think it's important for us to get a fresh look at Christ. Just have a fresh look. I think it's also important, if you've read the Bible through, wonderful. Pick it up and read it again like you've never read it. And see just how fresh it seems. It's like fresh bread. I think we need a fresh look at the Passover. Many people around the world, Jewish people, they will begin preparing. They'll begin this Seder or this Passover meal this week. And as believers, we know that meal was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. But this Friday, we'll be working. Most of us will be going through our normal life. God help us to stop and think about, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. God help us to stop and realize that's what the Passover is all about. Jesus on the cross saying, here is my blood. Apply my blood to your life. God help us to remember Friday. Pause for a few moments of our busy time and say, remember that unleavened bread we picked up two Sundays ago? It's forever reminding me of what my life should be like. I'm becoming more and more like him. He's the bread of life. Pulling by his grace the sin out of my life. Perpetually living in this feast with Christ. When we leave this world, friends, we're going to go right to a table. Hallelujah. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Tell me God doesn't want us to eat and have a wonderful feast. The unleavened bread, it persists. Even today, our lives are this testimony. But the Passover reminds us of redemption, which means Christ died to free believers. He died for you. He died for me. And God bought our lives. Listen to this. God bought our lives out of slavery to sin. That was Egypt. He bought our lives. You realize what that cost him? He bought our lives out of slavery to sin at the price of Christ's life. Christ Jesus, as the Paschal Lamb, he enabled his people to be forever unleavened. Because Christ died, can be. What happened? We hear you, Lord. The first signal was a signal to wake up. The second one is a signal to shut up. I'm taking the hint. Oh, thank you for the signs. Fools rush in. The Paschal Lamb, I want to try to get this out real quick. The Paschal Lamb enabled his people to be forever unleavened. You're unleavened today. God says you're a brand new lump. No leaven at all. You're like this unleavened bread that we celebrate at the table.
that I have by my grace enabled you to be free from the power and grip of sin. Sin is still corrupting. Sin is still constantly after us in the smallest of ways, which become big. Too big for us to handle or imagine how destructive that little thing was. Do not allow yeast to re-enter, my brothers and sisters. Do not allow yeast to re-enter the new lump of your life. Deal with it through repentance, which is being brokenhearted over sin. Deal with that yeast that tries constantly, even Paul tries constantly to re-enter that new lump of your life. Deal with it. How do we deal with it? Through repentance, being sorry for our sin. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did on the cross, Lord. We can say it in very religious ways. We can say it in traditional ways. But we want to say it in real ways right now. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Because I was so sinful. Beyond having in any way deserving grace and mercy. But yet you gave it. You offered it. And you died for me. Thank you for dying for us. And if there's any leaven still in our lives, may we not be so proud thinking that as a believer, we don't have to deal with that. We're good. We're safe. Help us to not be so lukewarm as to presume that you're not wanting to deal with those little things in our lives that have the potential of destroying everything. Help us to be unleavened. Help us to not address these things in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you. You ask a lot of people, what is sin? And one church belief will say, this is sin. You ask others, what is sin? They say, no, that's not sin. This is sin. And there are so many subjective ideas these days, folks, about what sin is. Some people say, that's not sin. And you see it clearly in the Word of God that it is. What I'm saying, in our society where everybody and everything is thinking so subjectively, don't look to the church for what sin is. Look to the Bible. It'll clarify it all. Just wanted to throw that out there. It won't cost you anything extra. Just wanted to throw it out there. Don't look to a church. Don't let a church tell you what sin is. Let the Bible do that. Amen. That's it. I'm going to shut up. Praise God. God bless you as you go. Listen, pause this Friday. I'm telling you, pause this Friday. Pause and think about what we've been talking about, the Passover. Praise God. Love on somebody on the way out, will you?